Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
All right, John chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. This is a very familiar passage, but I don't want to preach you the very familiar message. So we'll see how that turns out. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the songs of praise we're able to sing to your name this morning. Thank you for these other believers who've gathered with us here this morning to study your word and, Lord, just to really focus ourselves for the week ahead. We thank you for all the excitement and the wonderful things that you're doing in our church right now. And Lord, we ask you to bless this time now as we look at this sermon that you have here for us. We ask you to bless it and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, we're all very familiar with this sermon, or I assume that you are, or with this passage here in John chapter 8. And one thing that always intrigues us is that Jesus wrote something in the ground. Do you ever wonder about that? I mean, it is something that is... You know, there are books and books and books written about what did Jesus write in the ground. You may have your own theory of what Jesus wrote in the ground. I have my theory of what Jesus wrote in the ground. But the fact of the matter is, does the passage this morning tell us what Jesus wrote in the ground? We have no clue. And I promise you, you can go to a library, maybe not to a public library, but you can go to a Christian library, or you can go over here to my library that I have and get books about the book of John. You can get books about the New Testament. You can get books about Jesus, and every one of them will talk about what Jesus wrote in the ground. When in reality, we have no clue what he wrote. There's no way for us to know. Maybe when we get to heaven... And I don't think it'll matter when we do, but maybe when we get to heaven, we'll find out, well, what did you write there? There are theories that Jesus wrote an Old Testament passage. He began writing an Old Testament passage there. That spoke to those scribes and Pharisees that brought this woman to him and convicted them of what they were doing and how they were maybe were going about it wrong. The Bible clearly tells us here that they did it tempting him in verse 6 that they might be able to accuse him. They weren't worried about this woman in adultery. They were trying to catch Jesus messing up, doing something wrong. There are theories out there that maybe he started writing down sins of these accusers. Or maybe he started writing their name. There's all kinds of theories out there. And I'm not saying it's wrong to make those theories, because I've heard some great messages preached about this, and I'm sure you have too, about what Jesus wrote in the sand. My home pastor penned a poem which got turned into a song called Love Letters in the Sand. And it's a wonderful song, and a bluegrass gospel group recorded it, and it was a number one hit for a long time. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud to know the man who wrote the song about this passage. And I'm not saying any of that is wrong. But instead of focusing here on what we don't know, I want us to focus this morning here on what we do know. And I would like to, with that thought, preach to you a message on what Jesus didn't write on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. There's no way for us to know. But we do know what he said. We do know what happened to the accusers. We do know what happened to the lady. What Jesus didn't write on the ground. One thing we know for sure that Jesus didn't write on the ground, and we see it in verse 11. Jesus did not write condemned.
That's right.
He didn't write that.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad to know that when it was you who was being accused,
yeah,
that Jesus did not condemn. Praise the Lord for that. Look at verse 11 again. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Hey, I want to testify to you this morning that on March the 9th, 1994, I was an 11-year-old boy. It was a Wednesday night around 9 o'clock in our church in Commerce, Georgia. I came to an altar to be saved. I felt like I was a sinner, and I felt like I needed to pray and ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And I want you to know, on that night, when I bowed my knee to pray and ask Jesus to save me, He didn't condemn me. I was condemned already. I was condemned in my sin. And you could take this passage and misconstrue it and make it seem like Jesus condoned this lady's sin when He didn't at all. Adultery was a sin then, and it is now. Jesus didn't say it was okay for her to sin. In fact, He said, "Go and sin no more." But I'm so glad in love right here that Jesus didn't write on the ground condemned. And that's the message I want to give to you this morning. There's really just one point. Jesus didn't write condemned. And I want to give you two things from that. Christian, I want to say one thing to you today. Jesus didn't write condemned. Well, really got deep there, didn't it? You know, we're a lot like the accusers. They were scribes and Pharisees. They were very religious people. To put them like us today, they dressed up for services. They toted Bibles with them where they went. They kept one in their car, one at home. They toted one to church. They're very religious people. And that's not wrong, and I'm glad to be. I'm a very religious person. Amen. I'm glad to be that way.
Amen.
But these people, we're a lot like them. Verse 3 says, the scribes and Pharisees brought her to Jesus. And we know that they either had one or two goals with their practice. And verse 6 really narrows it down to what they were trying to do. But we can kind of speak hypothetically this morning that maybe they were just trying to stop open sin that was in their midst. Were they wrong in that? They were just going by the law, right? The law of Moses said you find someone in adultery, you bring them before a group, and you stone them for their sin. By their culture and by what they were taught, that is what they were told to do, and they were doing what they were asked to do. So they weren't wrong in doing that. But when you see this situation, you got to think, now, were they wrong? They brought this lady to Jesus, but where was the man?
Yeah.
You think of that?
That's a good one.
You know that old song, "It Takes Two, Baby," right? Amen. Isn't that right? Where was the guy? Where was he at?
Yeah.
They weren't trying to stop sin. They were trying to set up Jesus. So yes, they were wrong. In fact, the Bible goes so far to say that they said, "Lord, we called her." What does it say at the end of verse 4 there? In the very act. Well, they had to have been close by, right? To catch her in the very act. And I don't mean to paint graphic details in your brain that you don't want there this morning, but to catch someone in the very act of adultery, you've got to be close by. And where that kind of thing happens, I don't hang around there, do you? So how sinless were they to be close enough by to catch her in the very act?
Amen.
And how properly were they carrying out that Old Testament law by not bringing the man as well? So they really didn't have their facts straight, did they? So one or two things they were doing here, they were either trying to stop open public sin, which Jesus stopped them in verse 7 and says, okay, if you're here without sin, cast the first stone. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Imagine if you had the rock in your hand and had to ask yourself, am I without sin? But hey, Christian, I want to remind you this morning, a lot of times we're that way.
That's right.
We see something in the world, maybe in our own church, that we don't like or we don't agree with, and we're rearing back and ready to throw.
That's right.
Look at you. Right. Are you without sin? Look at me. I'm not without sin.
That's good.
So they were either trying to stop public sin, which we know they weren't. Verse 6 says clearly they were trying to tempt Jesus. And that's the second thing I want to look at this morning. This was a setup. They were trying to see if Jesus was with them or against them. They were trying to see if He was real or if they could trap Him and make Him stop what it is that He was doing. But you know, according to the old proverb, they dug the pit for Jesus to fall in. They fell in the pit. They dug themselves. And that's how it happens. And if we'd be honest with ourselves this morning, we'd have to say we're not much different in our religion than these folks. Now, we are in the love of Christ. When we operate out of the love of Christ and we do things as Jesus would do, we're a lot different than these folks. But in our religion, when we're so churchy, we're not much different than these folks. So we want to be reminded today that Jesus didn't write condemned on the ground. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus loved this woman in spite of her sin.
Yes, he did.
You can love a sinner and not love the sin. It's possible. And we are to do that. He didn't condone it. We've already established that. He told her to go and sin no more. But he loved her in spite of that. Before we go out casting stones, we need to remember that one of the most credible charges brought against Jesus. We know that he was crucified, an innocent man. But one of the most credible charges they did bring against him was that this man is a friend of sinners.
Yeah, that's right.
They killed him for that.
Yeah, that's right.
For saying he goes and has meals in sinners' houses.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not sinless like us. They're sinners. They're unclean. And Jesus, who's supposed to be a rabbi, goes and spends time in their house. Hey, I'll tell you this morning, as your preacher, I'll never call you up here before the church and call you in sin for going out and fellowshipping with sinners. That's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
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 I might want to say that again to see if I can get a more resounding amen out of you. Now, you all probably went to an extreme in your mind and said, now, wait a minute, Brother Chance. What if you see my car in front of the honky-tonk on Saturday night? Well, unless you're in there passing out tracts or reading the Bible, we might need to talk. But Jesus was a friend of sinners, and that was what he was guilty of. You can think what you will, but I was a sinner when he found me.
Yes.
I still am.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad he was my friend. In spite of me, in spite of myself, he still loved me. Ask yourself this question. Do those around you know what it is that you're for? Or are they too busy sifting through everything that you're against? Are you a friend of sinners? Or are they trying to live up to some standard that you've set that they'll never reach without Christ? Where are those thine accusers? Isn't that what Jesus asked her? Ask yourself that this morning. Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Remember today that we're not much different than those accusers. Remember that not too long ago, we were just like this woman who was accused. Who were you when Jesus found you? Where were you when Jesus found you? Were you an adulterer? Were you a thief? Were you a hypocrite? Were you a murderer? Who were you when Jesus found you? Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? I want to remind you this morning, Christian, that Jesus didn't write condemned in the ground. In her case or in your case. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. You've been shown grace freely. And Matthew 10:8 says, when you freely received, you should freely give.
Amen.
The only thing we should ever do in this life is the opposite of judge. Judge should be the last thing that we do. It ought to be to show grace, no matter what.
Amen.
So to the Christians, I want to say to you this morning, Jesus didn't condemn. And the last thing I want to say today, the second point of the sermon is this, to the sinner here today. If you've never been saved, and I don't mean to degrade you by calling you a sinner, because we're all sinners. Amen?
Amen.
We're all sinners. If you don't believe me, if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, I promise you I could get some testimonies this morning to people who would admit they're sinners too.
Yes, sir.
Just sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
That's the difference. And to those of you here today who've never been saved, what I want to say to you about what Jesus didn't write on the ground is that he didn't write condemned.
Amen.
You're not condemned. You're condemned in your sin, but you're not condemned by Jesus. You're not condemned by this preacher. You're not condemned by these people. You're not condemned by this word. You're loved. Your sin is, but you're not. You're loved. If you're here today and you find yourself in a position like this lady, I want you to know that Jesus did not write condemned on the ground. Religion will condemn you. It very much will. In fact, religion will condemn you and leave you without very much help. Some of you have been there before. Jesus can love you and offer you a fresh start. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus won't turn you away because of your sin. He will forgive you. And let me tell you what He does with your sins. He casts your sins into the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness.
Amen.
I don't know where the sea of God's forgiveness is, and I don't want to know, because I know there's a bunch of sins cast there. He won't ever remember your sins again. The Bible says He'll put your sin just as far as the east is from the west. Nobody's ever found that place. It's too far away. That's where your sin can go. Hey, those of you here who are saved today, do you remember when you're at that place where you needed a fresh start, and the only way you were going to get it is if your sin was separated from you as far as the east is from the west?
Yeah.
Would you raise your hand this morning and say, praise the Lord, my sins got removed from me. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you're here today and you've never been saved, Jesus won't condemn you. He'll love you, and He'll forgive you of your sins, and He'll separate them as far from you as the east is from the west. He said He would put your sin behind His back where you can never know Him again. Everybody's got that place on their back. You got one too that you can't scratch, that you can't see. Now, I'll just be honest, Miss Janae's a good back scratcher, but there's a place back there she can't even seem to find. I'll say a little to the left, a little higher, a little to the right. Anybody else? God said He would put our sins there, behind His back where He could see Him no more. I'll be honest with you. And I'm the one up in front of all of you this morning. I don't want you to know about my sins. I don't want you to talk about them. I'm not going to tell you about them. I don't want you to know about me. I'm not very private, but I'm proud about that. It's embarrassing.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that the religion that I'm in, that the God that I serve, doesn't want me to come before a group of people and tell about everything I've ever done so that I can hope to go to heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that the God I serve just wants me to come and allow Him to be Lord of my life and wants to forget about everything I've ever done because He died for it already and shed His blood to cover them so that I don't have to go to hell. That's what Jesus will do for sinners. He didn't write condemned in the ground. But I want you to know in saying that, you can't come to God in your sinful state. You can't. It's impossible. God is perfect, He's sinless, and He can't be associated with sin. Romans 8, 7 and 8 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You and I, in our state that we're in right now, we can't please God. Those of you who are saved, in the state you're in right now, you can't please God. That's why before you go to heaven, you're going to get a glorified body. You're going to become a new person. That's why when we get saved, we say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Right.
If you've never been saved, you can't please God. That was in Romans 8. Before we ever got there, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us.
Yes, sir.
In that while we were yet sinners,
yes.
Christ died for us.
Yes.
He died for you without you having to do a thing.
Yes. Right.
God loved us all in spite of our sin. So much that He allowed His only Son to die as a sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, who was sinless. He was not guilty. He was not chargeable. We said what was the one thing that He was really guilty of was loving other people. Well, that's not an offense to be killed of, is it? Jesus, who was sinless, was willing to die in your place, who is a sinner. He didn't write condemned on the ground because He was a friend of sinners. You've heard this verse. Greater love hath no man than this, than to let man lay down his life for his friends. That's John 15:3. Jesus was a friend of sinners. You may be here today with the mentality of, I'll get saved, or I'll become a Christian, or whatever words you put with it. I'll start going to church, or I'll join the church, or I'll be baptized. However you vocalize that. I'm talking of salvation, having your sins forgiven. You're thinking there may be that I'm lost in this state because of a certain sin in my life. And when I get that fixed, when I get that cleaned up, then I'll come be a part of the church. I want to say to you today that no one is lost because of a certain sin. No one is lost because of murder. No one is lost because of lying. No one is lost because of stealing. No one is lost because of adultery. No one is lost because of suicide. No one is lost because of any one thing. We're lost without Jesus Christ. Those things separate us from Him. But you're not lost because of that. In that place, if your mentality is, I will get saved when I get this fixed in my life, you'll never get saved. You'll never come to Jesus because you're not lost because of that thing. You're lost because you're not with Jesus. He's ready to accept you with open arms and to save you and to make you one of His and to become a Christian and forgive your sins. But you've got to let go before he can do it. What's that old saying? Let go and let God, right? Amen. Jesus forgives sins. Jesus died for the sin of the world. And any person who comes to Jesus is not lost, but you're found.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.